Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would send Your Holy Spirit upon us to give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in Christ Jesus as He reigns over all. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This past Thursday was Ascension Day, and we didn't have a special service for that, but has been our custom. We'll have a Ascension Day service on the Sunday following. And so we'll read Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 1 and continue through verse 11. Acts chapter 1. At verse 1, and we'll continue through looking through verse 11. Hear now the word of our God. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the earth." Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are looking at the ascension of Christ, and especially the times in which we find ourselves. This is such a comforting moment in redemptive history. We live in a time where everything has been turned upside down. I've got congregants down in a pit. That's to tell you something. We're not normal. We're not in normal times. Many things have changed. Some people are scared. Some people are just annoyed or frustrated. But we as Christians, we can be content. We can be content in any and all circumstances. That doesn't mean we don't speak out. We don't be the prophetic voice to the government, for example, when they are going against God's word. But it does mean that in any and all circumstances, we can be content. Paul said that very thing in Philippians 4, that whether he's in prison, in chains, because of the gospel even, he can be content. We can be content in this time. Why? Why can we be content? Simple answer: because Christ is reigning. What we read here in Acts 1 is the glorious truth that Christ has ascended to the right hand of God the Father and is right now reigning over all of creation. Everything has been put under His dominion. From depths of the sea to the furthest star, it is under His control. In the relationship of the Father and the Father has handed the kingdom over to the Son that He may save all the people that the Father has chosen and that He would bring all things under His dominion, a subjection to Him. When Judgment Day comes and Christ comes and judges the earth, having defeated finally every single enemy, then the Christ shall hand the kingdom back over to the Father, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But now in this text, I want us to pay attention to a few things about the comfort that we have as God's people, that Christ is the one that is reigning. Luke, who is the author of the Gospel of Luke and of the book of Acts, records in Luke chapter 24, verse 50, that Jesus ascended with His hands outstretched and blessed His disciples as He ascended in heaven. Now, Luke does not mention that here, that specific detail of the Lord rising up His hands outstretched, blessing them. He already did that in volume 1 of Luke's account, if you will, in the Gospel of Luke. But here in Luke, or in Acts, sorry, chapter 1, verse 9, there is a detail that's given here that is not given in volume 1. In Luke 24, we simply read that Jesus was parted from His disciples. But here in Acts 1, we are told specifically that a cloud received Him. We get this sense from that word, receive, that this cloud enveloped Christ and also went up with Christ. Now, this is, I think, a very important detail for us that's given here. A very important detail that would have been very comforting to the disciples as they looked up at Christ and saw Him go, but also for us. Because as Jesus is physically being removed from His disciples, and we know what that means, physical separation, we've experienced that just between ourselves. But now imagine their Savior, their Lord, physically being taken up and removed from them. And yet, it is a cloud that envelops Him, that hides Him. To understand the significance of this, we have to go back to the Old Testament. For in the Old Testament, we see in a number of places the Lord appearing to His people shrouded in a cloud. We can remember the Exodus from Egypt, that the Lord went before Israelites as a pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And He was leading them with His glorious presence out of Egypt, even protecting them for Christ in the pillar of the cloud and fire moved to the rear of the Red Sea crossing to stop Pharaoh and his army from overtaking the Israelites in their Red Sea crossing. When the Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai, the Lord is present among them in the form of a cloud, and God talks to Moses from the midst of a cloud. And then in the dedications of the tabernacle and the temple, we read that the glory cloud of the Lord filled the buildings as a symbol of His divine presence. You maybe have heard of this called the Shekinah glory cloud, which is another way of saying that this was God's glory cloud, His presence being physically manifested to His people, His divine presence. And so the beauty of out here in Acts 1 is not that there's some special manifestation of the Lord, of the Father enveloping Christ, or something like that. I don't want us to go that direction. Nothing in the text seems to indicate that. But what is clear is that this cloud is a symbol reminding the disciples and reminding us that even though Christ is physically removed from us, He is never actually apart from us. He is always with us in His divine presence. He keeps His promises. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us even to the end of the age. Every time we look at the sky, there's a lot of clouds in the sky today. Every time we look at the sky and we see a cloud, we can be reminded Christ is with us. He is not apart from us. He is with us in His divine presence. And even when we look at the sky and there's not a cloud in it and we see and feel the rays of the sun shining down upon us, we remember that the glory of Christ always shines upon us. And so whether the sun is shining in all its brilliance or whether the clouds are white and puffy like this or dark and stormy, we are reminded, even from the weather, that Christ is always with us. We are never separated from Him. Paul said it best. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. When we look at the times in which we live, we see the moral decay of our country. We see persecution even in this country on the horizon. We see sickness and death around us. We see the financial struggles of many, and we'll probably see many, many more. Uncertainty about what the government's going to do next. Uncertainty about how is the economy going to recover. Uncertainty about our ability to worship the Lord according to His word. There's uncertainty everywhere. We live in strange times, don't we? But in the midst of this all, we know Christ has not left us. He is still with us. No, He has left us physically, but He is really and truly with us in His divine spirit. And so even when we feel like Christ is far from us, we have to be reminded that isn't reality. This passage of Christ's ascension reminds us Christ is with us intimately all the time. Not only this, but the fact that Christ has physically ascended, that not only is Christ with us, but He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is reigning and ruling over all things. So we know that no matter what comes, whether it's sickness or health, persecution or freedom, prosperity or poverty, Christ is in control. And He will be for the benefit of all of His people, all of the time. It's not a thing for us to do, though, is it? To trust in Christ, to trust that Christ will do all things well. We like to be in control. some of us more than others, but we like to be in control of situations. We like to have the mirage that we're in control. It's a hard thing for us to trust God. It's not something that comes naturally to us because of our old, dead, sinful heart. Trust in God is only given to us supernaturally, worked into us by the Holy Spirit. And so we often feel like we have this wrestling match going on within us of fear and anxiety and stress. And yet at the same time, we know we're supposed to trust in the Lord and rest in Him. And what a battle that is for us many times. But it is good to have that wrestling. Because if the Holy Spirit wasn't present in us, we wouldn't have that wrestling at all. But when we are faced with fear, worry, and anxiety about the future, this is a passage that we can turn to and find great comfort. Remember, Christ is with us. Christ is reigning. The one who has saved us is the one who has died for us. And He is the one that is reigning. Do you not think, brothers and sisters, that if Christ died for us, if He laid down His life for us in order to save us from ourselves, that He who is in complete control of all things, will He not also turn everything in this life to our good? How can we not see that? Spurgeon said, faith is so hard because it should be the easiest thing in the world for us to trust in the Lord. There's no reason why we shouldn't. Look over your life, however long or short it is. Has not God been faithful? Has not Christ given you everything you have needed? Why worry? Why doubt? Who of us, by worrying, can add a year to our life or a cubit to our stature? Who can do any of that by worrying? Now, it is of great joy that we are reminded that we are not the ones in control. The world is not on our shoulders. It is on Christ's. Turn, brothers and sisters, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I have been in a discussion about the current state of the world. I have made a pact with myself that in any of those conversations at some point, I would say, but Christ is reigning. And if I don't do that in the course of this conversation, then you can hold me accountable to my pact and remind me. Because we all need to be reminded of that glorious truth. We all need to be reminded that Christ is reigning. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. Christ is reigning. Christ is still on the throne. God knows that we need this reminder. He knows we need it. We read about God's sovereignty in Psalm 143, verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. And then we see the prophecy of Christ reigning in Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And then we see throughout the New Testament, I'm just going to give us a smattering of all the instances in the New Testament where the ascension of Christ is referenced to give us great comfort and hope in our lives for numerous reasons. Acts 7, verse 55 and 56, Stephen, when he's being martyred, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Or Paul in Romans 8, 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ is interceding for us. Ephesians 1, 20, verse 21, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, that every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. All glory is to be given to Christ, for he is reigning, and he is reigning well. Colossians 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. That is one of our motivations for having hope in eternal life, the eternal life that Christ has given to us, is because Christ is ascended. We know that because his physical body is there, that someday our physical body will be there. Hebrews 1 verse 3, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, this is speaking of Christ, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 8, 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now remember, that's the short list of references to Christ's ascension. And as we consider those verses and we consider Acts chapter 1, let us remember this. That not only has Christ ascended into heaven in order to take care of our earthly needs, which we can be so consumed with in a time like this, but let us remember that Christ has ascended into heaven even more so and more important for our eternal and spiritual needs. Jesus is reigning not only in a sustaining way for our lives here on earth, but more importantly, he is reigning in a saving way. For Christ gives to us all the things that we need in this life in order to shepherd us and bring us to our life's appointed end, to persevere until he calls us home. And this leads us to the last part of comfort that we'll consider this morning, and that is what the angels say to the disciples. Verse 11, we read, who also said, Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner you saw him go into heaven. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is in heaven reigning right now. But this world will not continue on as it is like this forever. Christ is going to come back and he is going to right all the wrongs. He is going to execute perfect justice, fix all the brokenness, bring blessing and grace as far as the curse is found. Jesus says in Revelation 21, verse 5, "Behold, I make all things new." Jesus is currently making all things new in the context of the church, renewing hearts and minds. But when Christ comes again, which is what Revelation 21 is talking about, Jesus is telling us he is going to make everything perfect. This is our ultimate hope. We will never find heaven on this earth, and we should never try to. We will never find heaven on this earth until Christ comes again, that is, when heaven comes down to earth. That doesn't mean that we don't try and make this world as good of a place as we can, but it does mean that we should never be surprised when we see sin all over the place. That should never surprise us. My dad and I would oftentimes watch old World War II movies and such, and my dad would always say, "Never be surprised, son, by the cruelty of man." Sin is everywhere. I remember when Elijah was baptized, and Pastor Roots, who conducted the service, said something to the effect of, "We are all good Calvinists, aren't we? So when we see our children disobey, that should never surprise us. That should be expected. It's when our children are obedient, that's when we should be surprised. That's when we should say, 'Ah, the grace of God at work in my child's life.'" At the same time, that should be said of every area of life. We should not be surprised by evil in this life. We should be surprised every time we see good in any way, because then we are reminded that was Christ. That was Christ raining down his gracious good gifts upon us, upon all people, and in a general way, even upon the world. But even when we face evil, we are reminded that Christ is still reigning. How? Because only Christ can turn something evil for our good. And that is always what happens. We may not see it, we may not know it, even in this life, but Christ always does. I was put up for a call in another church. Not now, don't worry. I was put up for a call in another church before I came here. And we didn't get the call. Went up for a vote, and we didn't get the vote. It was a horrible thing to go through. Imagine what it would be like Sunday after church to be in the foyer, after you just preached that morning, and to have somebody 2 meters away, you know how far that is, actively campaigning against you very loudly. Right there. And yet, through all that pain and disappointment that Jen and I went through in that time, Christ brought us here. Christ brought us to Kelowna. I couldn't have planned my life any better. In fact, I know that if I had planned my life, it wouldn't have turned out this good. It just wouldn't have. So no matter what happens, whether the whole earth falls apart, we will not fear. Why? Because Christ is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Christ is still on the throne. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks and praise for this glorious passage in Acts chapter 1, in which we are reminded that our Lord Jesus is ascended and sitting on the throne, reigning over all, taking care of us, shepherding us, interceding for us, growing us and shaping us in His almighty and infinite power. Lord, we are blessed. And help us to see that. Help us to understand how we are blessed. And help us to be reminded of how much comfort we have each and every day of our lives, that Christ, our Savior, the one who died for us, is the one that is reigning right now over all things and is doing all things well for us and for all of His people. Heavenly Father, as Christ is reigning, we also remember our responsibility to submit ourselves to His reign and rule, and ask that you would give us hearts not of fear but of faith to trust in Him and in His ways and walk in obedience, showing and displaying our love for Him in this life. And Lord Jesus, we glorify your great and holy name. And we are thankful for all that you have done for us, all that you are doing for us, and all that you will do for us. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.